Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Yeah, the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports The Adam Carolla Show. So when you're choosing a mortgage lender, work with someone you can trust. Rocket Mortgage. They are transparent and they have an online process that gives you confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. Securely share your financial info for a mortgage and get approval in just minutes. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to be sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. So whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, skip the bank, skip the waiting, do it completely online at quickenloans.com/Adam. That's quickenloans.com/Adam. Dawson.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Here's an interesting fact for you. There are nearly 1 million new books published in the U.S. alone every year. So if you like to read, how do you choose what you're going to read? Well, that's where Fully Booked by Kirkus Reviews comes in. You see, Kirkus has been one of the top book review publications for over 80 years. They do a deep dive on thousands of titles every year, including interviewing best-selling authors and telling you what might be the hot new release before everyone else knows. And it's coming to Podcast One in just a few weeks. So keep your eyes and ears open for Fully Booked by Kirkus Reviews.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, plus a spirited round of what can't Adam complain about. And now, he doesn't care about the airline electronics ban, not because he doesn't come from the Middle East. It's just electronics never worked for him. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We get it on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for being a part of the program. I love that about you. Gina Grad will be walking in the door any second now. We had to go a little bit earlier because today's my tape day. So I shall say, good day, Bald Brian.
Well, Spike wants you to... Blah, blah, blah.
Go with the hard sell on that Spike show.
Yeah, man. So, a couple things to complain about. I don't know, Brian, you have a Jag.
We did. Turned it in for the Range Rover.
Oh, that's right.
But yes,
right.
We had the Jag for 2.5 years.
Jeez, are they owned by the same
company? They are, JLR, yeah. Tata Motors.
So they probably have the same device, which is, there's
the interior of your car is very similar to the interior of our last car.
There's quiet little ways you get punished for living in California. Just it's a slow.
I'm not so quiet.
It's a slow grind. I will give you a very good example of a small, quiet California punishment that probably takes place in, Oregon as well, but probably not in Texas. We have the fuel fill vapor recapture system on all of our goddamn pumps.
I know where you're going with this.
Well, first off, it's somebody designed this thing in 1981, and they have not touched it since. The same Nazi war criminal that designed the hospital gown designed this thing and just walked away from it.
So my work is done here.
No, it is not done. It is not done because... There is no such thing as full service in California for the most part. There's one gas station owned by Frederick Von Dickhead, who's Ava Gabor's, ex-husband, who it's in the middle of Beverly Hills, and for $11 an hour, and if you feel like blowing him, they will come pump your gas. But essentially and ostensibly, there is no such thing as a guy coming out and pumping your gas.
Funny, ironically, in Oregon, they have to. That's the law.
Right. Gina Grad is now sliding into the studio. She missed almost nothing. And there's certain things that you kind of looked forward to as a poor person. I looked forward to
death.
No, as a poor person, I thought, you know, one day when I have some money, I'll just pay the extra 30 cents a gallon or 40 cents or whatever it is, and I'll have a guy come pump my gas. Top of the morning, Mr. Carolla. Have you lost weight? Jeez, it's so difficult with the limo tint, me sitting in my car, that you could tell. But thank you, Bernard. And then they would wash the windshield dutifully and pump the gas and ask me, tell me he saw my last appearance on Kimmel, and it was, he would call it Top Shelf. And then he'd go back in. That's what I thought it was going to be like. I didn't know it was going to be me at a fucking Arco going out and having some guy named Habib going, pump three is no good. No, that is pump 11. No, pump three. No good. And I'm looking up going, yelling into the sky. I'm looking at pump 11. This is pump three. No, go to other side.
This is what it sounds like inside the booth. Outside the booth when you're at the pump.
Right. I had no idea that this was going to be my life.
Sorry, Dawson.
Well, if I made money and I worked hard and I made a little money in show business, I would just pull the Jag up and have the team run around fill it up for me.
Like a pit crew.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
That's not available in SoCal. Now, look, people are going to tweet me that there is one station outside of the Palisades that also has 101 race fuel octane for $14 a gallon. If I care to go there, not interested in that. Looking for the one near my home.
And the law is that if you have a handicap placard, then they have to do service for you.
Really?
Or they have to provide the option. But I know this.
How many times did you abuse that?
I attempted to have them help me.
It's impossible. Well,
that's the thing. It ends up being more trouble than a handicap person doing it themselves.
What is handicap?
Because, you got to go inside. You're
fine.
It was very hard
you
for
look
me
fine.
To, very hard for me to
you
come in.
You
actually,
walk
actually,
like fine. You walk good.
Circulatory
Show
issues.
Show me handicap.
Well, if you watch me walk out back
cigarette?
To my car, you'll see it.
You want cigarette?
It was very hard for me to walk. No, the last thing I want, I have cancer, for God's sake. I don't want a cigarette.
You shouldn't have smoked. Now's not time to quit.
All I want is some gas.
And cigarette.
No! The last thing I want is cigarette.
The Kenter Pomol.
Listen, if it'll get my gas faster, I will buy the cigarettes.
All right. Hey, American Spirit. American Spirit. $11 pack. It's good for you.
Very expensive.
It's good for you.
Oh, it's good for me?
It's good for your cigarette. It's one Indian smoke.
Oh, so it has like healing properties?
Yeah. It's good.
You sound not so convinced.
Get you the ultra right.
Your yeah was not
you
a
get
very...
the right.
Okay. There's a better version of the American Spirits?
We have a non-filter.
A healthier version of the
healthy
cigarettes?
A no-filter right.
Okay, well, I'll take those. I'll take those and a full tank of gas, please.
Hey, can you buy new squeegee? Squeegee's the last leg.
Am I buying the squeegee for me or for you? Because you have the squeegee.
For us.
So I'm buying you a squeegee.
Well, you can use it.
Once or forever?
Oh, we'll see how we last.
Okay.
All right.
I got to come back here and use
it. All right,
it,
you get cigarette.
This is very painful for me. So
you want Snicker bar?
Can this have some gas, please?
Snicker bar?
Gas?
Snicker bar. It's good for you.
Gas.
It's good for you.
Gas.
It heals the brain.
Fuel.
It's good for tumor.
Petrol.
Nougat good for you for tumor. So, good luck having somebody in this city come fill your...
The couple times I tried to take advantage of that because I was not doing so, I had to, go inside the thing and ask them, it defeats the whole purpose. The whole purpose of having them help a handicapped person.
We have set up this incredible... When it comes to cars, let's just examine automobiles and Los Angeles and a strategy. Okay, let me just step back and look at an overall strategy in terms of automobiles in Los Angeles. All right, let's work big to small. First things first, no discernible or real usable public transportation for the last 50 years.
Check.
Okay.
For a massive, massive city, square footage.
Right, no way.
Square miles.
There's one way for you and me and Mike August and whoever to leave LAX, and that's to have Nick take me in my car and drop us off at the white curb.
Correct.
So no real discernible. No. Look, the whole time I worked construction, there was no such thing as taking the bus to work or taking the subway to work. I had to just drive my truck all over the place. And so we start with no discernible, real, usable, practical public transportation.
We've removed
that option.
If you wanted to take public transportation from your house, it would be a series of buses and
right.
God knows what. And it would take,
you have to drive
it
to
would
park
take
there.
5.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Realistically.
And my call time when I did construction was 7 a.m. So I'd have to leave my house the day before 4 in the morning. Okay. So we start with that.
Yeah.
Now, everyone is married to their automobile.
Sure.
Okay. So we have that. Now, the next thing we do is we will now have gas stations littered all over the county, and you will have to stop there once a week to refuel your automobile because we have no public transportation. Those places will be manned by the angriest foreigners on the planet. They will have the angriest breed, and I don't even know who they are, but we'll all bring them in. They'll monopolize all of the gas stations, and then they'll be the biggest douchebag pricks on the planet. Courtesy, forget it. Out the window. I mean, I used to have arguments with my guy through the Lexan glass because he couldn't say hi or bye or thanks or anything. It's just, he would literally, if you bought something, he would just slide the change through the dip. Well, first off, the idea that we have to go into Hannibal Lecter's cell to buy a fucking candy bar is depressing enough.
It was like a bank robbery.
It's like
as little conversation as possible.
Like a prison canteen.
Right, and he'd literally just slide the change and just stare at you with those dead shark doll eyes. And
like
just stare. He didn't say, like, come again or thanks. Or, and I lived up the hill. This was my gas station. The guy's seen me there 100 times. Like, nothing. The squeegee and the white and the water and the washer fluid and everything was always bone dry and empty because the other problem is homeless people grab the squeegee and that's a pretty valuable earning tool for them. So what they can do is just slide into the 24-hour 76 station, kite the squeegee, and then go to the corner and charge you a buck. Right.
Yep.
So how long before Khabib over here decided no more squeegees out there for us to use or paying a premium for gas. Right. You want air? Would you like to use the bathroom?
God.
Would you like to use the bathroom or get some air for your tire? No. No way. No way.
Yeah.
Impossible. Impossible. All right. So that's that I would argue is not a great plan.
No.
We rely nothing on but the city, we rely on nothing but our automobiles, have no public transportation, and have a bunch of ass wipes work in every one of those and own and franchise those. Okay.
I think people think you're joking or are exaggerating for comic effect, but I'm thinking now about all the interactions that I can remember recently to my knowledge of people who work at gas stations, and a pleasant interaction is off the table. Like, I pray for neutral. Neutral is your best bet these days. Like, no words exchanged, neutral. That's your best. That's your best case scenario.
And God forbid you're going through the car wash.
Oh, no.
Don't make that mistake twice.
Yeah. So, that's number one. Number two, every single interaction and every single thing that has to do with a parking valet is another ball of confusion. It's miniature people who move your seat all the way up, have zero pride in their job, leave the stupid pink tag on your windshield wiper so when it rains you get the tampon streak on your front windshield, and have little to no grasp of English. So it's a lot of where, huh, whatever, more confusion, more whatever, and they're the gatekeeper. They have your car. There's nothing you can really do about it. If there's a mix-up or whatever, like if you pull in, you think you're meeting some friends at a restaurant, you pull into the restaurant, you valet your car, you run in and realize, oh, they're different restaurant, and you run back out.
Nope.
Oh, you're paying full fare.
It's gone.
Like you go, hey, it's just been 2 minutes. Can you get my car? It's like, yep, give me $11. Like, whatever it is. Then you go to LAX, and it's the same thing. I mean, I've been to LAX, tried to park in the parking lot, circled the parking lot for half an hour, couldn't find a space, and then went out and said, I got to go find a place over at the Handy J Park over in the corner. And they're like, that'll be $11. Like, we've taken the worst human beings on the planet. We've had a man the valet. We've had a man the parking structures. Some of the worst people work at those parking structures. And then we decided that that wasn't enough, that the city needed to get involved and basically just launch a campaign against people driving on the road, which is if you roll through a four-way stop sign when there's nobody around in the middle of a Sunday, you're getting these retarded conversations. Your wheel was still turning. Right. but what? But what? And these pussy CHP guys just sitting up on the on-ramp underneath the thing. I see them tucked in and hiding all over the place.
Past one today at 405 North.
We don't get to drive at speed very often in this city because we have the worst traffic in the world.
When you do, you sink your teeth into it.
Right. So on the off chance that we let us stretch our legs a little and go 70.
Let the horses run.
Oh, by the way, when I'm driving home on the 2 freeway and there's nobody around and I'm going 73 miles an hour, it is the opposite of dangerous. Actually, going 55 would be more dangerous than going 72 because someone would come up on you.
You'd be the only one going 55.
All right. Can we give the people a little break here, folks? And we do this thing. They do this thing all the time. They're shorthanded. Law enforcement is shorthanded. Well, perhaps you should take some of the pussies who camp out all over the freeway and let them go ahead and apprehend criminals.
Yeah.
That would help, right?
Free up some of the guys in the bullpen.
God, are we stupid.
It's diabolical on theirs, on the cops' part because, we are tight. The car is king. There's no public transportation. And might as well just, cast a wide net.
The car is king, and there's nothing that says 55 when you're driving a modern-day car on an open highway that 70 feels slow.
The car looks up, and he's like, what's up?
No, but I'm last thing I said to Matt was, where's my cord for my radar detector? Because I'm going to Willow Springs in the high desert this week, and I'm going back and forth three times. And if I go 60, I'll never get there. I have to get my radar detector so I can do battle with the cops. Me, the guy who does nothing but pay taxes, has to get the radar detector so I can do 80 through the desert. And for those who, question the radar detector, well, they're only there because you guys invented a radar gun and hide.
There's arms
in dangerous places. Thank you.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, Waze, it tells you that there's a cop up ahead and whether he's visible or not, whether he's hiding or not, which is helpful.
So, back to the original rant.
Oh, there was an original one?
The other thing about California is these stupid vapor collector accordions. And they go on.
I don't know what this is.
No.
You don't? You
knew
it
at
the beginning. You knew it at the beginning.
The gas hose thing.
You knew it 13 minutes ago. The vapor collector.
You
push it in. You put the thing on autopilot. You flip the little lever down, and the thing starts pumping. And it always starts pumping for long enough for you to head back in
your car,
for you to clean out some of the trash on the passenger side, foot side, long enough for you to tend to your dog, and then you hear click. And you look up the thing, it's like, that was 4 gallons. Wait a minute, I was on empty. Mm-hmm. And you go back, and you do it again. My new car, there is no choice other than just to stand there and hold it.
Yep.
And when you're done, you don't know you're done because all it did was click again, which means either you're done or it just randomly clicks. Could we solve this vexing problem so we wouldn't all have to stand outside and hold the dirty thing?
Yeah, because the only option is because Adam started it by saying you had the Jag and it was the exact same thing. I love that car. I love driving that car. The only thing I hated about that car was two-thirds of every gas station, they would have the click. I had to, I started scouting out gas stations, remembering, this is the one without the vapor lock. This one you can fill up. And, I would go out of my way to go to the ones where I can just walk away.
You have to, because wasn't there an ordinance a few years ago that they were trying to do away with being able to click and walk away because it was an environmental issue? I remember Conway bitching about this on the night show, that they were literally trying to do away with getting to walk away while you're pumping your gas.
I feel like everything is mostly motivated not by the environment, but by, we don't want our citizens resting while they're paying tax on gas, do we? Mm. No, we don't. All right, I'm going to put forward a bill where they do jumping jacks. Tim, I think you're gilding the lily a little bit there. I think they're going to catch on to that. Yeah. How about we just have them stand there aimlessly waiting to be carjacked outside of the pump,
now
sucking up the noxious fumes?
You're thinking.
That's smart, and we'll put it on some sort of environmental thing.
Sure.
Yeah,
hang
smooth.
On something green.
Jesus Christ. And so the gas station closest to my house, it doesn't work. Mm. It just doesn't work. I don't know if Gary's got some thoughts, but you know what I'm going to have to do, Gary? I'm going to have to go to the other shop, and I'm going to get Sean or one of those guys just to fabricate some C-clamp or something. I'll do a squeeze clamp or something. I will make something that I just travel with where I can just pinch it and get the hell out of there, because it... That thing where you go get it going and it's going for 3.5 gallons and you go sit in your car to go listen to the rest of Gina in the morning pow, it pops, it pops, and you come out and do it around. And it's pretty endless because you're like, I think I got it this time. Because you do it and you stand away, you raise your hands up a little bit, and you go, all right, it's going.
You're getting lulled.
It's going.
It's like putting your kid down for a nap. It's like, oh, ooh, this is going to work. It's going to work. He's backing out of the room and I'm crying all of a sudden.
Right. So, it is weird when you travel, you do appreciate other places because when you hit the road and you're just traveling through some other city like Texas or whatever, and you just see the gas pump with just the metal coming out and you just go, I'll just drop this in and walk away. Let's light a cigarette, nap on the hood of the car.
And did you mention this already? Jersey, you can't pump your own gas?
Yeah, we were mentioning that with Oregon, I think, but Jersey's that too. And I love that, although I don't think that would work here in L.A. or California because it'd just be a Mexican standoff, which is, I'm sorry, Habib, it's the law. No, it's not. I can't pump my gas by law. But then you die. All right, one of us is going to have to make a move because if I get out and start pumping the gas, I could be cited. Good luck. I see you in hell. Okay, you have to come out of the Lucite shark cage to pump the gas. No. I see you in hell. Okay, let's make a deal. I'll buy a 3 packs of cigarettes and a large fun-size Snicker bar if you come out of the shark cage. You buy carton of cigarette.
Throw in Red Bull. Rockstar.
22-ounce Rockstar. Then maybe we move. Oh, hold on. What flavor doesn't move in the Rockstar? Licorice, huh? No good? Okay. Licorice Rockstar. 22-ounce. Two for $8. Then you come. There, no deal. Okay, I'm going to eat jerky. I have enough jerky here to last me a lifetime.
This goes on for 6 months, and the bottom drops out of the oil industry, and we're looking at charts of California. It's dropping off a cliff.
Khabib, I'm looking at Teslas. What do you think of that? All right. That would be awesome. It would never work, because it would just be physically impossible to do, right? All right, let's see. We got some calls up there.
I feel like we just did what Cam complained about.
I feel like we did, too. This is what Cam. I'm just going to talk to him about it and screw it. Brian, 34,
hey,
Minneapolis. Yeah.
Hey, get it on. Yeah.
Hey, man.
Hey, I got something you can't complain about.
Mm.
The Venus flytrap.
Like WKRP?
Yeah.
Yeah, the plant that eats bugs.
Oh, that's it, the other one.
I like these outside-the-box suggestions. I never heard you have a thought on the Venus flytrap.
They were a big part of my childhood, which just shows what a horrible childhood I had. We weren't rich enough to possess one, but there was a nursery hardware store called Stevens Hardware Store. I used to go there and like steal batteries and stuff. by the way, batteries like a Mason-Dixon of poorness. And I remember this from my youth and when I was, 19 or 25 or whatever. Batteries were kind of a serious purchase. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man, Duracell, I don't know. I may be going black cat here. Like, well, the Duracell's last one. Yeah, but it's a little rich for my blood. Like,
I'm never ready, man.
Buying a, brick of C-cells for $11 was kind of expensive back in the day. And buying one of those big camping ones, the big brick ones, the big square ones with the weird springy wire on the top and the screw cap. That was like, whoa, you save that's for Christmas. So I used to steal the batteries from this place, Steven, and by the counter at checkout, they had the Venus flytrap, and you could put your finger in it, and it was really cool just to have it. And also what they had? Mexican jumping beans.
That's a thing?
Yeah,
that's like a flea circus, not a real thing.
No, it's a real thing.
Really?
Yeah.
What
Gary's
is it?
Gary's got to find it. Right. I don't know how it works, but there was... flora and fauna were considered entertainment when I was a kid. I could never say that to my kids. Hey, you want to check out some moss? Eh. Like, get the hell out of here, old man. I got the 3D goggles.
This plant closes and opens.
Yeah, I got a virtual rally goggles on right now. I'm climbing into, spelunking into a volcano.
I'm on Mars.
You got this thing that moves 3/8 of an inch, barely. Congrats. But it was cool. And we loved all that. And it was, again, just a part of my dismal childhood. But, Gary, Mexican jumping beans, I swear they existed.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Is there something special here? Yeah, I definitely remember them. Are you looking for a commercial? Or
well,
just...
these guys thought it was sort of like Spanish Fly. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no. No, for sure. That's real.
What in the hell is it? Is that a husk?
They don't look like the old school jumping beans that I'm looking at now. They look a little brown, but they're moving on their own. And
do they just vibrate, or do they actually jump around?
They're like weeble wobbles.
They're about the same relationship with those things as you basically have when you buy sea monkeys, and they have the picture of the king with the scepter right. and the crown and everything.
Yeah, I thought it was in that category.
They're like micro shrimp.
Well, no, it is, which is. A week later, you go, I think something's moving inside yeah. the jar. It's disappointing, but it exists.
Okay. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So yeah. these are some sort of a live creature.
I can't remember if there was a little worm or something that was in there and that they hatched a larva oh. and the larva started to come to life Ooh. And they jumped around. I don't know.
Yep, larva of a small moth.
Look at you.
All right.
Boom.
We got to figure out if there's anything that starts with Mexican or Africanized that's any good. I feel like it's all dangerous Ooh. Or all
we'll
weird.
I'll get right on that.
Get on that.
Mexican wall.
All right,
Mexican
thanks.
Border wall.
Thanks, caller Brian. Chris, 38, Alabama. Oh, Detective J.J. Arms.
No, I'm sorry. We actually had this one just drop, and we have a new one.
Oh, it doesn't matter because somebody tweeted me, coincidentally, an article out of a British newspaper or maybe tabloid, that they thought they were on the trail of finding the James Dean 550 Porsche.
Yeah,
really?
Do you have that?
Wow. Yeah, you want the details?
Yeah, so that was J.J. Arms initially was looking for that.
Yeah, apparently there's a guy who claims when he was six in 1960, he witnessed his dad and a few other people hide it behind a false wall in a building in Washington State.
Wow.
And he is now... He's apparently taken a polygraph and passed it, but he's keeping the location secret until he can negotiate a deal for him to get paid because he has no claim to the car.
He's no dummy.
It was a finder's fee.
But this was back in 2015, so I don't know if it
Still
ever went anywhere from then. But
this whole thing where,
long con.
Hey, your dad's a criminal, uh-huh. and you got to hold out, lawyer up, and wait till you get paid. Like, hold on, son. Is that your car?
Well,
then we're going to need it. And
my time.
I'll just put you in jail until you tell us where the stolen property yeah. is. Like, is that so outlandish?
It's a risky strategy on the kid's part. Son's part.
I don't think it is in this day and age because of we're horrible society.
That's a good point.
We used to live in a society yeah. where we'd go, that car's not yours.
Yeah. And you know where
it's
it is.
It's not your dad's. Yeah. And your dad is a criminal. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you 30 days. You can give us the location of the car that is not yours and we can go retrieve it. Or after said 30 days, you can be incarcerated until you feel like giving us that information. Now, this is a pretty easy one since you have no ownership of this car whatsoever. And we're in a good mood because your dad, the guy who owned the car, George Barris, the maker of the Batmobile and the Monkey's Mobile, everything with a mobile in it, that guy died just a few months back. It wasn't that long ago that George Barris died. And George Barris owned that car, and for the last 50 years of George Barris' life, he never had that car. So he died in November 2015. That car was stolen in 1960 or something, we figured it?
1960, yeah. This article also does reference the fact that George Barris was involved in all of this because when he bought it in the 60s as a wreck, there was no paperwork.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't clear as to who had legal claim to the car.
I would say the guy who paid for
it. Yeah, we could assume.
That's how I roll.
Cash.
Again, we're going old school with my thing. So George Barris, for 50-some-odd years, did not know where his car was, and he died not knowing where his car was. So I would say we should get it back to the Barris estate.
Fair
enough. That's me. All right. Let's see. Having your own.
We have Daniel on, by the way.
Oh, Daniel's on. Is he on?
No, you're good.
I am? It's not lit up.
It was, and then you press hold.
Sorry.
He's on now.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Oh, hey, Ace Man, Ball, Gina,
love
you guys. I don't know if you can complain about having your own garden, you know. You could just plant some tomatoes in your backyard and then save yourself some money and just go in the backyard and pick them yourself.
It's therapeutic.
Don't have to go to the store.
That'd be awesome.
Fresh.
Yeah, I'll see
organic.
If I can talk Olga into that.
No, okay. Your own garden.
It ain't happening at the Carroll house. I planted the dwarf avocado tree, which I checked on like yesterday. It's not doing that well. And I've planted the dwarf lemon tree, which I think I got one lemon off of. Let me tell you this, and I don't know, you guys tell me. I'm really just coming to the conclusion that people have what they're interested in and what they're not interested in. And when it comes to gardening, either you're in or you're out.
Yeah.
And
it's hard to cultivate, no pun intended, a love of gardening halfway through your life.
Talking your wife into gardening just means you'll have 7 to 10 arguments a year. It doesn't mean anything is going
to
happen.
One more thing to go unfulfilled.
There will be no gardening. Yeah. There'll just be arguments about gardening.
Because it takes a lot of tending to.
Not a lot.
Tim's really into gardening. I'm not.
But it takes... It's a consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
It's not a lot. It's just what it is. It's
you can't go a week and go, Christ, I haven't been outside to look at the tomatoes.
It's... Depending on where you live,
yeah.
I would say if you wanted to do it, depending on what stage you're at, 2 days a week for 15 minutes a day on those 2 days. But if that ain't your thing, then that ain't your thing.
Tough sell.
And there's nothing you can do about it. And I don't know. It's so pragmatic. Like, because you run into that stuff all the time. You're like, oh, we're out of Roma tomatoes. We're out of avocados. Wherever, you know, somebody go to the store. That you just go, oh, well, just do it because you have this land and it's Southern California and it's easy. But if that ain't your thing, that ain't your thing. And my batting average for talking people into things for them, not for me.
1,000?
That they're not into is less than zero.
It's Mendoza line.
Yeah, I might be able to get Olga going on that fight. Even she's pretty tough with that too.
Ooh,
I don't know.
What about you get the kids to do it and do a little bribery?
That's all.
Okay, never mind.
No. Right. There's one path to a flourishing garden at the Carolla house, and that's the Ace Man quitting the podcast and really just going full time.
Putting those
gardening.
Overalls on.
Putting on the bib overalls, putting
hat.
On the clogs.
A trowel and a claw and you just get to it.
Right. And just going at it. Yeah. I think that's about
adopting as a lifestyle.
Well, I would have to work it into my whatever already very hectic schedule.
Well,
and
you
then,
mentioned quitting the podcast. That would take a lot of time, obviously.
Well, I could do it, but there's this thing that I kind of have, which is, and I wish everyone adopted this, high and low, which is just kind of take a look at your hourly number. What do you make an hour?
Mm.
And if you can break down what you make an hour, and most people can come to something close to a number, then you have to sort of decide, is it worth this guy doing that if I'm getting X amount an hour? Now, maybe the gardener, if I can talk the gardener,
sure.
Bribe the gardener into doing this stuff.
Gardener is his name.
Yeah. Mm. The other part of it is... I wish there was more. See, I realize the satisfaction in these endeavors. There's a lot of our society is a lot of like, don't do that. Pay someone and go get someone to do that. You shouldn't be doing that. Like, well, there's a lot to be gained in life from these kind of quiet, simple whatever. I will bet you I'll go against my previous statement. I will bet you there are plenty of guys, probably like a Bill Gates or Richard Branson, who do garden, who just use it as a meditation, use it as a way, who like who have the certain sense of satisfaction that when they're serving up the salad, they say with pride, that all came from my garden.
Yep.
I miss that. I like that.
And especially with thinkers that don't get to have a product at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, if you could say these are my cucumbers, then that's like a really linear goal.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Matt, write down Roma tomatoes. I'm going gardening, baby.
I got a way to fit this into your busy schedule.
Mm.
All right, I got a pitch for you. Hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
New Spike show, Adam Carolla and Friends, Grow Stuff Live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Adam Sandler just staring.
staring at a baby Roma tomato plant.
Harvesting okra?
Not even harvesting, just watching.
Yeah.
Just monitoring.
Many, many weeks.
Now the garden's paying for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of weirdness and gardening, I know I brought up weirdness. My mom, when I was growing up, we did have some tomato plants. Now, my mom...
Next to the pot plants?
Yes. My mom was unemployable and poor.
Not unemployed.
Not unemployed, but kind of into the green thing. And I'll give the devil her due. She did have tomato plants in the backyard because she didn't have a job. She didn't have money. And why not?
Grow something.
They used to get, and if you guys know what I'm talking about, these huge green caterpillars. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Massive, crazy novelty green massive caterpillars that would walk around on those things. And they're the biggest, juiciest, fattest. Like, man, if you were a crow, that was like a rack of ribs for you.
They're like neon. Very, very bright.
And they're fat.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen one since back in the day. Since that's why everyone needs a koi pond nearby. You just pull it right off and right
there
into the
go.
Koi pond. All right. A couple more and then we'll get to it. Let's see.
Line 5 is quite the challenge.
I am very worried.
Zach, 30.
Hey, good to talk to you guys.
What's going on? Yeah, man.
Not a lot. I had something that I thought of while I was living in Germany. Because in Germany, you don't see World War II veterans wearing those World War II veteran hats.
It's probably for the best.
You know, not a lot of pride there, you might say.
Yeah.
So my what can Adam complain about is World War II veterans. Americans, of course.
All right, I'm going to focus on the hats here, which is a hat can only sustain so many pins before it collapses under its own weight. And I'm going to cut it off at 3.5.
Okay.
These guys are littered with pins, and the hat is caving in because there are too many pins. Like, here's the vessel I was on. Here's the beachhead we established. Here's it. And then also this group and that group. Oh. There's just too many. I don't feel like the hat is a place to put stuff. You know, when somebody hands me...
They're called lapel pins for a reason.
Yeah. Right. You're wearing a jacket. The thing, it's not like all these guys are wearing wife beaters and they're like, oh, where do I put my pin? They're wearing jackets.
Yeah.
They have plenty of room on their chest and jacket area for these pins.
Yep. Coats on jackets sometimes.
Yeah. And again, it's not like somebody says, hey, here's a button, and you go, oh, where's my hat? Or here's a lapel pin. Where's my hat? Like, I don't put anything on my hat. The hat just has the logo of the team or the show or whatever it's advertised, or the car manufacturer, what it is. So I would either like to compel these guys to put stuff on their jackets and not on their hats, or better yet, get an endowment from the Veterans Fund to construct a hat
beef
that could stand up to these veterans.
Beef up those hats.
And what's so wrong with a sash? You know, the Girl Scouts do it. It's good enough.
It's all feminine.
It's a little feminine, yeah. Okay. It's got too many. It's got a little too many of those beauty shows kind of weight to it,
oh,
or mystery to it.
The Grand Supreme,
yeah. So I would like to see a hat developed by. As a matter of fact, Trump should get this out there.
Yeah.
The War Department should forget about this F-22 Raptor or the F-35 Joint Strike Reconnaissance Jet.
Folder.
Get a hat. For the old timers.
How many pilots can fly that at any given time? At 30, 40? How many hats are being worn at any given time by veterans?
That's right.
Millions.
Countless.
Now, when you see a veteran on the street in his hat and his full regalia, do you thank him for his service?
Older
gentleman?
I assume he's lying.
I can't thank him because his chin is always on his chest because he can't lift his head because of the weight. We never get eye contact.
You got to get underneath him.
I can't. Yeah, we pass each other on the sidewalk. I'd like to thank him, but he's staring at his feet.
Think how many VA hospitals are filled with the bad necks of veterans.
Oh,
too many
neck
pins.
Osteoporosis caused by the hat, the
They'd
weight
be
of the hat.
Skipping through the hallways if it wasn't for that damn hat.
Ryan's right. All right, one more. Hey, Andrew, 32, Idaho.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
All right. Love your new show.
Thank you.
Speaking of which, one thing you cannot complain about, belt drive chop saws.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to Gina what that is.
Yeah. Brian knows.
I could, but it's not my segment.
Well, belt drive.
Not you, Andrew.
No, there's a direct drive.
Oh, sorry.
All right. So the direct drive, I'm not a chop saw
Andrew and
expert,
friends build stuff live.
The direct drive. Okay. So picture the blade going on the armature, the axle of the motor, just directly to it. Okay. Like, oh, I'll paint a picture. Like somebody having a car where you put your front tire like on the engine,
okay,
versus passing through a belt. Okay. So now the motor's over here and the blade's down below it, and the belt drives it.
Oh, that's fun.
Well, it's a good time. Yeah, Andrew, is that what we're talking about?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I like it. I'll tell you this, most of the new belt drive stuff, which is nice, comes with a laser, correct?
Yeah.
And the laser, see, in the past, picture this.
All right.
You have your chop saw or your sliding compound miter saw. The blade is up above the piece of wood you're going to cut. And or in front of it.
This is the one on the hinge, you know, where like you know, go wow, lift it back up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. I was gonna
it's
it
that way, or yep. It slides is the other way. Okay. So now, you used to back in the day, you draw a line, and you'd like close. You wouldn't turn it on. You just close the blade sort of while it was in one stationary, and you'd try to line it up with your line. Now they have a laser. And a laser shoots a little red dot, and you can line up where that edge of that blade's going to be without firing it up or without closing it, which seems good.
Yeah.
Until you go to your shop on a Saturday and realize that the laser's just been burning laser calories all week long because whoever had it last didn't put it down and lock it or didn't unplug it. And thus, I get angry at the laser and the calories it's burnt. Andrew?
Yes.
I think that's about the only negative thing I can say about the belt drive chop saws.
Fair enough.
Also, they figure out whatever size wood you're working with and just get to the end of cutting it so you have to flip it over. That's the other bad thing. Am I right, Andrew?
That's right. Every time, especially if you're a sider, which I was.
You're putting on siding.
Oh, yeah. Every time. It just barely wouldn't cut it.
Not anymore?
Not anymore. I used to do that back in my past life.
All right. Well, what are you doing now? Gay porn?
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the weekends.
All right.
I'm doing radio because of you, actually. You inspired me.
Oh, really? Do you have a name? Do you have an on-air name?
No, not yet. I'm kind of behind the scenes doing production stuff, but eventually.
All right. We'll work on it. God, we've been working on that. Speaking of radio, I'm working on that K-Rock doc.
Oh, how's that coming?
We're interviewing everybody, but we're also digging. It is kind of fun. It's kind of a weird thing, which is like I was talking to Nate Adams, who I'm making the movie with yesterday, and I was like, do we have film of the Bleeda and Reseda, Jimmy's fight where I train him from 1994 with Adam Sandler, John Wayne Bobbitt, and Pat O'Brien as the judges and blah, blah, blah. I was like, do we have film of it? And he's like, Lightning over at K-Rock, Jay Tillis, like, he says he thinks we have film, but the stuff's unmarked. Mm. The dumbest thing human beings can ever do is not mark video. Like, I know what this is. What, forever? Mm-hmm. And then it joins a pile of 100 others that you've somehow memorized all the whatever. He who smokes a lot of pot, like, go ahead and get a China pencil out and mark that thing out. But anyway, there's some unmarked stuff. Anyway. The thing that makes it kind of interesting is Nate uncovered after I've never seen any pictures from the event. I never owned a camera. I don't think Jimmy had any pictures. It was 1994. Like, we just never took any pictures. But I know people in the audience must have taken a picture. Or there might be some footage. Jay says there's some footage involved. So yesterday, Nate uncovered. He sent me, Gary, an email with him. Nate uncovered a bunch of old pictures, or a couple of old pictures of Adam Sandler in the ring, of me leading Jimmy out, blah, blah, to the ring,
nice.
Of me standing in the corner, blah, blah, blah. But the thing that makes it fun with these endeavors is, so I'm talking to Nate this morning, and I said, you got those pictures? And he said, yeah, I got those. I got those pictures. And I said, you could see me looking delighted that Jimmy's being beat up.
Pummeled by
Michael.
Wow.
He's being pummeled in the corner. You're going to hold it for a second, Gary. So now I say to Nate this morning when I'm driving in, he's like, I don't know if we found these pictures. I don't know if there's footage of the thing. And I said, in one of the pictures, there's a cameraman who has his back turned to us, who's holding a legitimate camera, like a professional grade camera, like a 3/4 drive or whatever camera. So we know there is an actual cameraman
out there somewhere.
There's a guy, it's got a full size, the same cameras we'd use to do Man on the Street bits, mm-hmm. or whatever we still use today when we do Man Show bits. There's a dude standing there and he's got the full professional grade camera. This is not a fan. So now
looks like August.
We know there's, it'd be nice. Now we know there is tape
at
of
one
it,
point
or somebody
existed.
Was filming it. We just don't. Now we have to go find the guy. And that's the...
Wow.
How would you even begin?
You know, the thing about all this stuff is you just kind of start scratching. It's
someone's
like,
got a piece here and someone's got a piece of information.
Yeah,
there.
Somebody says, they go, oh, the local KTLA yeah. affiliate came out and covered it. And
well,
you
KTLA
go, okay, so now we have to go to the
puzzle.
Archives of KTLA from May of 1994 and blah, blah, blah. It all begins that way.
Wow.
But you do find it.
You had Ring Girls and everything.
If it does exist, yeah.
Who was singing?
I have
like
no
Tori
idea. I don't know. Maybe it was somebody. I'm guessing it wasn't a huge star at the time, but maybe it was the equivalent of one of the guests who sung the national anthem. All right, I'll tell you guys about rich uncles. I'll give you a choice. Would you rather put your money in the bank and earn less than 1% or be the bank's landlord and get over 7%? I think we know the answer. So, of course, the money in the bank is safe, and while commercial real estate has some risks, it's not guaranteed. Rich Uncles does pretty well. They've been around for a while. You can go to their website, by the way, and take a look at their Wall Street Journal article. I think you'll find what you're looking for. Rich Uncles, they're a REIT, R-E-I-T. It's a real estate investment trust. Pools your money with other investors. Rents to creditworthy tenants like Walgreens and Chase Bank. Started by the chairman of the world's largest real estate firm. Wealthy investors collect rent, distribute cash to investors each month. I've invested. A lot of people I know have invested, and they always re-up. Everyone re-ups. So go to their website, check them out, Rich Uncles REIT. Their Reg A Tier 2 offering, go to richuncles.com, or you can give them a call, 855-RICH-UNCLES, richuncles.com.
Rich Uncles REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent, response will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $15,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.
All right, shall we do a little news, Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, controversial quarterback Colin Kaepernick remains an unsigned free agent, and President Trump believes he is a large reason for that. Speaking at a rally Monday in Kentucky, President Trump brought up the former 49ers quarterback and said teams don't want to sign him because they're afraid of Trump's wrath. Kaepernick caused a lot of controversy last season by taking a knee during the national anthem to protest racial injustice. He has stated that if picked by a team, he will not take a knee for the anthem. And I wasn't kidding about Trump. Here's a clip from the rally.
But there was an article today, it was reported, that NFL owners don't want to pick him up because they don't want to get a nasty tweet from Donald Trump. Do you believe that?
He's Mussolini-esque in his body language.
I just saw that.
My favorite part about Mussolini is when he'd fold his arms and give that super self-satisfied look.
Trump has the great
crazy, like, scene from a dirigible.
Yep. He'll drop that verbal bomb and then turn around and go all nod. He's a professional wrestler.
Kaepernick's not going to take the knee.
Correct.
So he says.
Why not?
I think he'd like to be employed.
I imagine that's hurting his chances for signing for a lot of
I don't like it.
But don't you think that if... I mean, the NFL is all about money.
Yeah.
And if he was great, this wouldn't be an issue.
Everything, when you're earning money... see, it's this kind of thing where it's like, look, when you earn, when you have a show that's number one or you're playing lights out quarterback or whatever it is, people look the other way at almost everything because and then when something does happen, they all huddle together, figure out a way to cobble together something that sounds sincere in the form of apology. But the point is, we got to get you right back onto that soundstage and right back onto that field.
That's how
corporate America works.
It was that sort of the Deflategate situation. I mean, some people did rally around Tom Brady and take, you know, really try to protect him. When everybody else was screaming, cheater.
I never really felt the full measure of that. I was sort of like, I think different quarterbacks have sort of different grips and different takes on what they like, and a little less air is probably better for some guys. But there's probably a handful of guys in the league that don't like the ball that way. Yeah. I don't know. But I feel like Deflategate could have been solved by Brady going, the way I throw the ball or the way I grip the ball or my style of play or short passing or whatever it is, I like the feel of a little less air in the ball. So I tell my people, or my people know, because that's the way I like it. And there's a kind of version of this for almost every sport.
Yeah, they tape up my ankles ever so, you know, slightly tighter or less tight.
So I tell them, just go down, you know, if it's between 22 pounds and 28 pounds, I tell them keep it down around 22 because that's the way I like it.
Yep.
Now, because there's a difference on a cold day or a hot day, or there's a difference between Atlanta and Denver in terms of altitude and what have you, and also these gauges don't seem to be wildly accurate. Mm-hmm. Seems like we have three different gauges that measure three different PSI. Mm-hmm. And again, this is just my cheap seats view of the whole thing. Then I guess some could have went down lower than it was like, which is, you know, to be honest, the way I like it. But I never told anyone, you know, make it lower, and that's where we're at. So sorry. Let's move forward.
Yeah.
They didn't really take that angle. I think the filming of the Miami practice probably didn't help their case.
Patriots have a long history of running afoul of
getting creative with the rules.
Letter of the law.
And, you know, Kaepernick, with all the attention that he drew to himself this year, probably needed to have a higher QB rating than he ended the season with. So they'll look the other way at anything at any time, but you got to be putting up big numbers.
Right. Yeah.
And if you're not, now we're back to, well, how's the press going to treat us? Mm-hmm. And that's what Kaepernick's dealing with.
Yep.
I would argue that if he had conviction, he'd just go to the Arena League or go to the Canadian Football League and go do it there.
Do his thing, yeah.
Yeah, if that's your conviction, it shouldn't be based on whether you're getting paid or whether you get a gig or not. It should be based on your conviction. That's what everyone... The definition of conviction is, I shall, you know, it's Muhammad Ali going, I'm not going to Vietnam. Go ahead and take the strap. I'll sit around for 3 years and let my best 3 or 4 years go by. Yeah. That's the definition of conviction.
Well, and it wasn't in this article, but I thought I read, didn't he say, I'm not taking a knee anymore because I've seen racial problems improve?
Oh, please.
I mean, what is he going to say?
8 months?
Yeah, what else is he going to say?
Well, that's my point. But look, I don't think we've made a lot of progress in life. We elected Trump.
If anything, you should be taking two knees.
Take two knees. Make it three. All right.
Well, if you want to go to your happy place, you're going to need a little cash and a winter coat and a sense of community, because Norway is the happiest country on earth. It vaulted to the top slot in the world's happiest report, despite plummeting prices of oil, which is a key part of its economy. I have the top 10 list here, and I'm wondering if you'd like to guess what else is on it.
So this is countries.
The top 10 happiest countries.
Does it say what the methodology is?
Yes. It's economics, school system, and crime, I believe.
Oh, we're definitely number two. One and a half? Go number one.
Wait, right. Economics, I believe, school system, and crime. It's kind of weird because that doesn't equate to happy.
Yeah.
Well, if it's a high, everybody's earning good and people are smart.
Yeah, I guess the economy,
low.
Crime. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, I get it. But it's like, you don't have kids. So it's like, how much does that factor in, like,
Thank
the
you.
School system?
Thank you, for
you said Norway's number one?
Norway's number one.
Well, I gotta say Sweden and Finland are up there.
I just go white and then ride on down the white line, except for you gotta jump to places where they have bad schools, bad unemployment, and bad crime, but they don't care.
Jamaica?
yeah. Like there's a handful of like pot smoking, drinking cultures
That's a good point.
Very good point.
Yeah. So there's the, Brazil, the Jamaicans. Mm-hmm. It's like, look, we don't care, but we're throwing a party. Yeah.
Right.
Like, so I'm gonna sprinkle in a Jamaica. I'm gonna sprinkle in a Brazil, and the rest I'm just going all honky.
Yeah, I think you were right to stick with your first theory, because from 10 to 1 is Sweden, Australia, New Zealand, Canada,
Australia,
Netherlands, Finland, Switzerland, Iceland, Denmark, and Norway.
Wow, that is not a diverse.
Holy moly!
No, it is not.
No, it is not. Wow. So, and my theory about just sparking up some spleef in Jamaica and enjoying the beach for free. No.
Maybe they're number 11.
They and need believe- to use another metrics for happiness.
Yeah.
You know, like how often do you dance?
Blood alcohol level.
Blood alcohol level. Yeah. Yeah. THC. I'd like to know how often you dance.
Yeah.
Because that's happy. And, you know, having a good school system is like, it's cool, but it's not happy. I want to know how often you bust a move.
Yeah.
And I bet we'll get back in with South America and Jamaica.
That's true. And I believe the United States came in at number 14.
So, 14.
Make America happy again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she doesn't have a formal title and she's not on the government payroll, but Ivanka Trump is moving into her own office in the West Wing of the White House, where she will serve as an unofficial advisor to her father, the president. Although she doesn't have to follow the same ethics regulations as government employees, Ivanka said in a statement issued to Politico that she'll voluntarily abide by those rules. Ivanka has already been present at meetings with world leaders like Justin Trudeau, Angela Merkel. She's also trying to get security clearance and will start getting government communications this week.
I found
She's a volunteer.
Her. I found I he should listen to her. She may be president one day, and I found her to be one of the most competent, well put together human beings I've ever been in the presence of. They're people who I think you meet and they're a little bit shorter or a little less whatever than you'd imagined. And then there are other people that sort of take you by surprise. I just remember way before any presidential Trump stuff, I just remember when people would say to me, Celebrity Apprentice, what are your thoughts? And I'd just be, Ivanka Trump, man, that woman is so...
She had presence.
Poised.
Poised, presence. Like, she probably allows herself like 3 farts a year and 2 bowel movements. And she would
save those up.
She would like show up onto the... not the set, but whatever the work, whatever the place was,
the boardroom,
decorating, whatever, the boardroom or the
event,
the event. Yeah, sure, like sure. she just come sliding up behind you, and it'd be like, and everything was measured, and you could tell she was calculating everything, but she wasn't spouting off about it. And then she'd just gather her little information and go to the next one and see what the next group was doing. And I just found her to be this incredibly driven business person, but they didn't have all the negative baggage of the super hurried business, male or female. When the people get busy, they get a little rough around the edges. They're not always polite to people. You'll catch them yelling at someone into a cell phone, you know, just do what I told you to do, and then they hang up and stuff like me.
Yeah. Shut up and listen, Fondelier.
Yeah.
Found her, things of that nature.
Sure. Yeah.
Found her super composed, super bright, and, you know, like whatever you may like about Trump, and I know it seems comical in this room, but what I'm saying is, it's like the part where he's talking about putting people to work, making it easier for small businesses and
says
a lot of that stuff. All that, minus any of the preening and the weirdness and the thin skinned and all that. You could get
the tweeting.
Yeah, you get all the stuff you want. All the stuff you do want in a much better package.
Yeah.
Although, so I would look forward maybe to her running things in a few years.
That would be interesting, and I would definitely be curious to see how that would shake out. I have to say, one of the funniest SNL bits I've seen in a while was Ivanka Trump's perfume commercial, where Scarlett Johansson played her last week, Complicit.
Oh, I didn't
was the name
see
of the perfume.
It last. I did not see it last week.
The perfume is called Complicit. It was very funny.
Very good.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah. Well, Deadspin reports that a high school football coach in Spokane, Washington, has been suspended with pay.
Don't care already.
Oh, you're going to like this.
I already like the guy, but I don't care what you say he did after this. I'm with him. I put all. I'm 1,000% with this guy. I have no idea what it is. I back him 1,000% when letting babysit my children.
Everyone brace for impact.
How about that?
Okay. While the school investigates complaints that he exposed himself to students at a leadership camp last summer, according to public records described...
You can't lead with your dick in your pants.
Well...
I know it sounds cliche. No,
he agrees. The coach allegedly put his penis in a hot dog bun, showed it to players, and said, "You think that's a big dog? Take a look at this."
Oh, I'm a fan.
Yep. The Ferris High School coach, Jim Sharkey, was suspended in February. While the coach got a written reprimand and was allowed to coach this past fall, school officials placed him on administrative leave February 1st after more players claimed to have seen the hot dog incident, and other students brought up separate incidents of questionable behavior by
Mr. Nielsen did that for us when I was in high school.
Before we go any further, Gary, can you look up this coach's record? Because to the point you guys made earlier, if you're winning, they'll put up with a lot. This guy's got a winning record.
You think he did the elephant trick when he didn't have the hot dog bun handy?
He's won some section titles. He's getting away with some stuff.
Yeah. I use the bun that holds the cocktail weenie because it just helps. You know what I mean? And then argue. No, it's a regular bun. It's a full-size bun. Yeah. Just one store-bought bun.
Wow.
And then I'll pull out the slider.
It's a puff pastry. You wrap it around.
I'll pull out the slider bun and pull that. No, it's regular. Just regular bun. Yeah. Just went to In-N-Out and bought a bun.
Why? Are you impressed?
All right. We have the commercial or we have this guy?
Yeah, the SNL commercial.
I got the commercial. I'm looking up the guy.
All right. So Brian says record well over 500.
He's the Belichick of high school coaches who stick their dick in the hot dog buns.
This is Scarlett Johansson as Ivanka.
Every man knows her name. Every woman knows her face. When she walks into a room, all eyes are on her. She's Ivanka. And a woman like her deserves a fragrance all her own. A scent made just for her. Because she's beautiful. She's powerful. She's complicit. She's a woman who knows what she wants. And knows what she's doing. Complicit. She doesn't crave the spotlight, but we see her. Oh, how we see her.
Complicit. Baldwin.
Yeah.
A feminist, an advocate, a champion for women. But, like, how? She's loyal, devoted, but probably should have bounced after the whole Access Hollywood bust thing. Oh, well. Also, I bet when she watches Titanic, she thinks she's Rose. Sorry, girl, you're Billy Zane. Complicit, the fragrance for the woman who could stop all this, but won't. Also available in a cologne for Jared.
Some sharp satire.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's a funny premise.
The Complicit. It's funny because they brought up the whole Access Hollywood thing. I was thinking of this coach, and it's like he'd probably do the same thing Trump said, which is like, you know, after 11-0 seasons, I could put my dick in a hot dog bun in front of the entire team, and they still wouldn't can
me. I don't know, man. That's pretty far.
Oh, yeah? I'm going to try it.
Well, that's crazy.
Right between, you know why they have that couple hours in between 2-a-days?
Yeah.
So I can put my dick in a hot dog bun.
I think that's why guys can
they
recover.
They didn't used to have that
hydrate.
Time.
Hydrate.
Well, some say that's dick in a hot dog bun time for me.
It's dick in a hot bun o'clock.
That's right. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, Gary, you can look for that coach's record.
I am.
I will tell you about Geico, man. You got your to-do list. You want to pick up some dry cleaning or drop off something or put out the dog and take in the cat or whatever the hell. Oh, wait. Taking the dog and put out the cat, I think, is what you do. Either way, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance is what I would do. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Easy, man. A little wham for you. Right in your own pocket. So, go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Geico. All right. Go to AdamCarolla.com if you want to find out about the cruise. That's going to sell out, man. We're going to Key West and Cozumel. I got to be happy there.
We're driving to Florida.
It's going to be fun, man. I'm looking forward to that.
It's going
to
be a good time.
That'll sell out. The Spike Show, you can be in the audience. Go to CarollaQuestions@gmail.com. If you want to, just go to AdamCarolla.com. The 24-Hour War, you can check that out. And me and Dennis Prager, No Safe Spaces over at Cal State. It's charting on iTunes, I think. So you can get it on iTunes, Amazon. AdamCarolla.com. It's just $4.99. It's like 100 minutes of thought-provoking stuff. So, till next time. Yes, Gary.
Only found 2016, but not so good. 5-5.
Oh, it's a rebuilding year.
Hold on. Yeah, but still. Yeah, but still.
He's coming off a section title.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, but still.
There you go. So until next time, I'm Crawford, Gina Grant, and Paul Bryan saying mahalo.
These are my cucumbers.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail with your questions and comments at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at AdamCarolla.com. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings. Hit 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, me and Gree events, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com.